Oh, merde. Harriet looked in the mirror, her toothbrush hanging out of her mouth. It was the 1st of June, and she'd forgotten to say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. She said it now, toothpaste foaming on her lips, but had the sinking feeling it was too late. The magic wouldn't work. And if there was any day when she needed magic, it was today. Merde. It'll bring you good luck, little one. Auntie Myrna had assured her niece when she'd taught her the incantation. It'll protect you. That had been years ago, but the rabbit habit hadn't wholly taken. Most months, Harriet remembered, but of course this month, when she needed it most, she'd forgotten. Though she knew it was probably because she had so much else on her mind. Shit. Did she really believe repeating rabbit, rabbit, rabbit made a difference? No, of course not. How could she? It was a silly superstition. There was nothing actually magical about those words. Where did it even come from, anyway? And why rabbit? It was ridiculous. She was an engineer. She told herself as she prepared for her morning run, a rational human being. But then, so was her aunt. Did Auntie Myrna even do it? Or had it been a joke the timid child had taken to heart? Setting aside the absurdity of magical incantations, Harriet marshaled her rational self and entered the day. Everything will be okay, she said as she ran through the warm June morning. All will be well. But Harriet Landers was wrong. She really should have repeated rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. It was the beginning of November when the chief inspector first saw Clotilde Oxinot. He pulled his field jacket closer around him and knelt beside her, like a penitent at some awful altar. Do you want to hear my secret?
Oui, whispered Armand Gamache. Tell me your secret.
He heard a snort of derision behind him and ignored it, continuing to stare into the worried eyes of the dead woman at his feet. The head of homicide for the Sûreté du Québec had been called away from Sunday breakfast with his young family. He'd flown hours northeast from his home in Montréal to the shores of this godforsaken lake to kneel beside the body that now bobbed in near-freezing waters. She was shoved half ashore by the gray waves that were growing increasingly insistent by the minute. Injuries? Gamache asked. From his vantage point, he could see none, though the coroner would be able to tell them more, he hoped. Here. Inspector Chagna pointed to the side of the victim's head. Gamache leaned across the body for a closer look. As he did, a shadow blocked out what little sunlight penetrated the pewter clouds. Do you mind? He asked, glancing over his shoulder. When the shadow withdrew, he bent closer. A crushing blow had caved in that side of the woman's head. It could have been post-mortem, said Chagna. From what her kids told the local cops, she'd been drinking and was depressed. You're thinking suicide? Asked Gamache, sitting back on his heels, aware that his legs were growing numb from a combination of the kneeling and the cold. A gust of wind blew spray from the lake onto his face. He turned his back, protecting not himself but the dead woman. It was not necessary. It was instinct. Behind him, he heard another snort, this time of amusement. Suicide? Are you kidding? She was a drunk and whored around from what I hear. But she didn't kill herself. That's obvious. Though who'd have blamed her? I'd off myself too if I were her. Fucking waste of space. Gamache had a few quiet words with Inspector Chernin, then rose. He slowly, deliberately turned to face the unfortunate young man. Had the agent been more astute, had his head not been quite so far up his own derriere, had he not been so intent on self-destruction, he might have noticed the look on Chief Inspector Gamache's eyes. Come with me, please. Gamache reached out, and the agent braced for the inevitable shove. But it didn't happen. Instead, the Chief Inspector simply indicated a rocky outcropping away from the activity. Once there, Gamache stopped, turned, and after regarding the young man for a moment, he finally spoke. His voice was deep. Calm, quiet, but it held more force than any screaming the agent had heard his entire life. And he'd heard a lot. Agent Beauvoir,